All right. Okay, we're going to back up a little bit because remember I said we got on a bullet train last week? We did. And I need to go back and I need to clarify something. Having never taught this method on this scale, I'm finding that some things might fall through the cracks. And so I just need to be a little bit more careful about recognizing when that happens. And one of those things happened last week. So I want to go back and make sure we're all on the same page and have a very, very clear understanding. Now, remember that this method of Bible study is meant to help you know God better through personal study of the Bible. Now, part of this method is to think and to ponder and to wonder about what you read instead of just reading it, right? I want you to think of it this way. Go back to high school science. I know we did grammar last week. We're doing science this week. But do you remember the scientific method? Do you remember that you would make an observation? And then based on that observation, you would form a hypothesis. And then you would test that hypothesis to see if it was true or false. If it was false, you would scrap it, maybe make another observation, and start the process over again. We need to make sure that we do that as we approach Scripture. So I want to go back and use an example that I rushed over too quickly that may have confused some. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we talked about, it said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, as you remember, we highlighted it in blue because we discerned that God made Paul an apostle. Now, I made a hypothesis that I did not clue you into. Okay, my hypothesis was, okay, if God made Paul an apostle, maybe he calls me an apostle. The next step is to test that hypothesis to see if it is true. All right, so every time that you write something down in a God or me column, or we're going to add some boxes today. Anytime you write something and put it in that box, you have to make sure, while this method encourages you to wonder and think and ponder it, that anytime you write something down that is I wonder if, that you take time and go back and prove it with Scripture. Okay? So, in the normal course of this study, here's what should have happened if I had had all the time in the world to walk you through step by step. Okay? I made an observation. I said that if God made Paul an apostle, maybe he made me an apostle. We wrote that down in our God column. When I went to look up words, I would have looked up apostle, and I would have found in blue letter, because we learned how to do that, it would have said a delegate, messenger, one sent forth with orders, specifically applied to the 12 apostles of Christ. In a broader sense, applied to the eminent Christian teachers of Barnabas, Timothy, and Silas. Now, in week three, we're going to teach you how to take that even a step further. You would have gone maybe to a Vine's dictionary to find out that Strong's number, what definition applies. And when you went there, you would have found that the word apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ uses it to describe himself in Hebrews 3 and John 17. The 12 disciples refers to the 12 disciples chosen by the Lord with special training in Luke 6 and Luke 9. And then it also would have told you that Paul, though he had seen the Lord, had not accompanied with the 12 all the time of his earthly ministry, and hence was not eligible for being placed according to Peter's description of the necessary qualifications. Now that would have made you go, okay, there's qualifications to be an apostle, which should have made you say, do I meet the qualifications? That would have taken you to Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 26, that would have laid out what those requirements are. The candidate is required to be someone who has followed Jesus during his earthly ministry, from the time he was baptized to his ascension. Do any of us here meet that qualification? No. They must be required to see Jesus after his resurrection. No. And be hand-appointed by the Lord himself. So, you've tested your hypothesis. Did God make us apostles? And you concluded, no. Okay? So you would go back to your God column and you would adjust it. God made Paul an apostle. Now, you could draw another hypothesis if you wanted to, or you could just move on. But maybe some of you would say, well, am I like an apostle in that God wants me to be a messenger of the gospel? That sends you on this process again. Here's the deal. You cannot write something down if you've changed it from God made Paul an apostle to God makes me an apostle or God makes us an apostle. You cannot change it if you're not willing to research it. Okay? Because what you write down, you want to make sure is scripturally true. Okay? So if you change it, that's fine, but you have to research it. And if you can't make that commitment to spend the time to research it, then be safe and write down exactly what it says. Does that make sense? If you don't have a scripture reference to back what you have written down in your columns, then you look at that as hypothesis and you get rid of it at the end of the day. Everybody make sense on that? Okay, you got a handout in your small group this morning that you put between, I think, page 4 and 5 that goes over that more clearly to help you remember that process, okay? Okay, so I apologize if I stumbled any of you last week when I said that and didn't clarify it. I hope I've clarified it today, okay? All right, let's move on. We are going to pick up with lesson 2 in your books, and we are going to be adding some more boxes. So remember, we have our God box, and we have our box. Now, if you go down to step 4 of lesson 2, we've done the blue and the green. We see something new, orange. In scripture, you will oftentimes run across a literal question that the person who authored it wrote. There is a question mark at the end of it. I wanted to look at those questions a little bit closer and see, okay, are the answers in the text? Is this a rhetorical question? If the answers aren't in this particular passage, can I find them somewhere else? So I started highlighting them in a different color to put them in a different box, so our question box, and it's represented with orange. A way to remember it, aren't you glad I asked you a question? Okay? The next thing, now this one gets a little bit tricky, and I don't want you guys to get tripped on this. For me, I noticed there were positive examples to follow, and then there were some things that said, do not, dot, dot, dot. I wanted to single those off. To me, they looked a more emphatic in nature. Does that make sense? Do not do this. So all the do nots I have as commands, and I'd use pink for that, only because it's close to red, okay? So to really get your attention. You're going to find warnings in Scripture. If you do this, this will happen. I wanted to look at those closer. So I have a warning box. I underline those in red. And then I ran across some, just these statements of truth. Now again, hold this one lightly. Because if we underlined all the statements of truth in the Bible, we would underline the entire Bible, okay? What I'm talking about generally is something that's Proverbs-ish. I don't know if that's a word in nature. Like godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you see how we can't really put that in any other box? There's really no other place to put it. But it's something to consider. So I underline it in black. Again, hold that one lightly. Don't let it trip you up, okay? If you get in your small group and you underlined it and the person next to you didn't, don't worry about it, okay? All right, so those are the things that we're going to add this week as we go through the passage of Psalms 139. Oh, thank you. And there is yellow. So yellow is, I came to a place where I wanted my prayer time to be more effective. And I thought, how can I learn to pray? And I thought, well, The best place to learn to pray would be the Bible, right? So I wanted to start looking at what type of requests were made of God in the Bible. So any request being made of the Lord is yellow. Now, if your head's swimming right now, the passage we're going to go through is going to show us examples of these things, okay? So we'll make it make sense in the end. Okay, I think that's everything. Everything else on that first page is going to stay the same. We're going to highlight. We're going to think about the passage. We're going to write down things in our God and me columns. If we change anything or we make any, I wonder if this, I wonder if that, we're going to commit to research those things and come to a biblically, spiritually backed conclusion. All right? So let's go to Psalms 139, right in your book there. And we're going to start highlighting. So you're going to need blue, green, orange, and yellow. I'll give you a heads up. All right, let's dive in. Phrase by phrase we go. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Who's that talking about? That's God. So it's going to be highlighted in blue. You know my sitting down and my rising up. Who knows my sitting down? God does. So what color is it? Excellent. It is blue. You understand my thought afar off. Who understands my thoughts? God. So it continues to be in blue. You comprehend my path and my lying down. Again, it's about God. He comprehends all of that. So it stays in blue. And are acquainted with all my ways. Still blue. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Remember, green is an example to follow. Is there an example to follow here? Or is this simply telling you something about God? It's telling us something about God, that he knows what we're going to say before we even say it, so it ends up being blue. Verse 5, you have hedged me in behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. Is there an example to follow? Not necessarily. Is it talking about God? Not necessarily. Is it a statement of truth? It's definitely a statement of truth. So we're going to underline that in black. Now, let me tell you something about those black pins, just so you know. These are archival pins so that they will not bleed in your Bible. So if you write in a definition or anything on the side, you don't have to worry about them getting blurry over time. Okay? All right. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Those are what? So what color should they be? Orange. Orange, you glad? I asked a question. Highlight those in orange. Now moving on. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. Well, who is that? What is that telling you about? It's telling you about God. Okay, so it doesn't matter that it says, if I ascend into heaven. It's telling you about God, that God is there. That's the point that it's trying to get across. Not an example to follow. So it is highlighted in back to blue. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Remains blue because it's still telling us something about God. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. It's all about God, right? It remains all blue. Okay, picking up in verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. What do you think? It's kind of the same thing here, right? It's just saying, if this circumstance, if this is the circumstance, then God is going to even still be light about me. No matter if my circumstance is darkness, God's going to make light about me. So this is still telling us about who? God. So it continues in blue. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. Who's responsible for that? God. So it is blue. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Who's that talking about? God, still blue. All right, on to verse 13. You have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. We're still talking about what God has done. So it remains in blue. I will praise you. Green. That is an example for us to follow. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who made him fearfully and wonderfully made? God. So we're back to blue. Okay, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Let's talk about marvelous are your works. Blue. That's about God. And that my soul knows very well. What is the antecedent for that? His marvelous works, right? So you could say, my soul knows very well that your works are marvelous. So is that an example for us to follow? Should we know that his works are marvelous? Yeah, make it green. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Was not hidden from who? Okay, and who made me in secret? And who skillfully wrought me? So it should all be blue. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. We are still speaking about God. He saw us before we were even formed. And in your book, they all were written. So what were written? The days fashioned for me. Okay? So who or what is that telling about? In your book, the days fashioned for me were written. Who wrote them down? God. This is about God. So it stays in blue. And then it finishes off, when as yet there were none of them. Speaking of days, our days. So it's just a continuation of that thought, and it should be blue as well. Okay, still verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me? That is blue because it's talking about that God has precious thoughts towards this person. So that's telling us something about God. How great is the sum of them? What's the antecedent for them? The thoughts. Whose thoughts are they? God's thoughts. So this should be highlighted in what color? Blue. Verse 18. If I should count them, count what's the antecedent for them? The thoughts. They would be more in number than the sand. Who is this ultimately telling us about? It's telling us about the number of thoughts God has for us. So it should be blue. When I awake, I am still with you. Now, who causes us to wake up in the morning? God does, right? We can't make our hearts breathe. Our lungs breathe. We can't make our hearts beat. We wake up in the morning because God woke us up in the morning. So that's something God's doing. And I am still with him. Why? Because he is there. This is all about God. Okay? Stays blue. Okay, here we go. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Yellow. Good job. This is a request. he is making of the Lord. Now, depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, is a continuation of that request. So that is in yellow as well. So all of 19 is going to be yellow. Okay, moving on to verse 20. For they speak against you wickedly. Who speaks against who? The wicked speak against God wickedly. Does this tell us anything about God, his character, anything he's done, going to do? No. Is it an example for us to follow? No. Is it a question? No. Is it a command? Is it a request? It's nothing. We leave it blank, right? Your enemies take your name in vain. So God's enemies take God's name in vain. This is just telling us something about these wicked people. It doesn't fall into any of our categories. We leave it blank, okay? Verse 21, do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? That is a question. So it is highlighted in orange. And do I not loathe those that rise up against you? Another question. So we stick with orange. Verse 22. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Okay, who is the I in this? The psalmist, right? So the psalmist hates them, who's them? The wicked, with a perfect hatred. If it's a perfect hatred, it's a right hatred. So would it be an example for us to follow? Yes. Now, if you had a question about that, I don't understand perfect hatred. I don't understand what that means. We're going to talk about that next week. But just put a question mark by it and commit to look it up and understand it, okay? But next week, we're really going to dive into answering those questions that you have about Scripture, okay? Green for verse 22. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. I think I heard somebody over here say it's a request. So it should be what color? It should be yellow. Verse 24, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's all a request. Okay, we are done highlighting. Now, when you move to this next phase of putting things in your boxes, right? That's what we're doing now. Take all of our blue stuff and put it in our God box. All of our green stuff and put it in our green box. All of our questions in our question box. We're sorting our laundry, basically, okay? If you were sorting laundry at home and you're throwing the whites into the washing machine, okay, that's the right word. I don't do laundry. You would have an opportunity to take the black sock out, right? So if you have something in the wrong place, we have opportunities to move it around here. And this is all about learning more about God. So this is where we're kind of getting down and we're digging and we're getting our hands dirty and all of that kind of stuff. So just, you can do it in whatever order you want. Sometimes I'm like, I want to get all of the questions out first, and I want to get those in the box. And then I want to get all the, you can do that. You don't have to go God and me columns, then questions, then commands. If you're an orderly person and that helps you check your boxes, then by all means, do that, okay? But it doesn't matter the order. I just want you to understand that. So we're going to go back, and we are going to type in. Oh, hold on. I got to hit that. We're going to type in our God and me. Now, I don't know if I fixed this problem. Okay, I apologize. I don't think I'm going to have enough God columns on here. Can you give me 1 second and let me see if I figured? Okay. I'm not going to have enough God columns. You should have an extra sheet in your book. So I'm not going to be able to type all of them up today. But we're gonna get through it. It's going to be fine. Okay, so we're going to go through the scripture. We're going to do all the blue first. So verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. So in your God column, you would write, searched me. One second. I'm having some technical difficulties. There we go. The next thing would be, knows me or known me, however you want to. So known me. Next blue thing there would be, knows my sitting down and rising up. Next would be, understands my thoughts. Next would be, comprehends my path and my lying down. What do you guys think the next one would be? Yep, acquainted with all my ways. Next, there's not a word on my tongue before you know it. What do you guys think the next one would be? I'll call on somebody. What do you think the next one would be? I couldn't hear you. Lay your hand upon me. What about you hedge me in behind and before? And then the next one would be, lay your hand upon me. Next would be, wherever I am, you are there. So I kind of summarized that big passage. You could always write it all out if you wanted to. I just put, wherever I am, you are there. Now we're to verse 10. And I have your hand leads me. And still in verse 10, there's a second one. Your right hand shall hold me. Verse 11 says, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. And I wrote it down as, you make night light around me. Verse 12, the darkness shall not hide from you. At verse 12, the darkness shall not hide from you. Also in verse 12, you make the night shine as day. And another from verse 12, both day and night are alike to you. Now we can move on to verse 13. You formed my inward parts. Also in verse 13, you covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 14 says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So I wrote down, you have fearfully and wonderfully made me. Also in verse 14, marvelous are your works. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought. So again, that was, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Now the next part of 16 says, and in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So to kind of summarize that up, I put, before I was born, you fashioned and wrote my days in your book. Verse 17, your thoughts towards me are precious. Now, for 17 and 18, how great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. I summarized as 2 bullet points. How great are the sum of them? And more in number than the sand. Just think about that for a minute. And they're all precious. Okay, also in verse 18. When I awake, I am still with you. Okay, now we're going to start putting stuff in our me box, which is going to take us to verse 14. I will praise you. And then the second thing there, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. So we have to put the antecedent for that into our column. So you're going to write it down. My soul will know very well that your works, including the fact that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, are marvelous. Okay? We include the whole thing. And I'm also typing it, but my soul will know very well, not very well, very well, that your works, including the fact that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, are marvelous. Okay, that will bring us to 22. And I always try to replace your pronouns with the antecedent so it's clear. So I hate them with a perfect hatred. Make sure you write down, I hate the wicked with a perfect hatred. So you don't get confused on who you're supposed to hate with a perfect hatred. Now remember, if this trips you up, and I don't understand what that means, as part of this study, you would research this, okay? You would, and we're going to talk a lot next week about research and how to do that. So if you're like, I don't know how to do that, I'm going to help you with that next week, okay? Okay, and the next thing, I count them my enemies. So you would write it down as, I count the wicked as my enemies. All right. That's our God box and our me box, which brings us to our question box. This is a new one. So when you're doing this on your own after this study is over and you are just using a journal, all I do is make two columns in my journal. One side has the questions, and the other side has the answers to those questions, okay? So when you're approaching questions, you're going to first look and see, is the answer to the question in the text that I am currently studying? If not, can the question be answered anywhere else in the Bible? You're going to go on a research mission to find it. And some questions you might find are rhetorical in nature, okay? But we're just going to take a closer look at the question. So the first question we have, where can I go from your spirit? Now, was this question answered in this text? Do we agree? Yes. And where can we go? Nowhere. So go ahead and answer that. Nowhere. Now, if you'd like, and I suggest it, you can put down the verse number that answers that question. So in this case, 8 through, really 8 and 9, verses 8 and 9 answer that for you. Because remember, we draw no conclusions or answers to these questions unless we have a verse to support it. Otherwise, it's just a hypothesis. And it's okay to hypothesize and to wonder and to ponder and to question, but it is not okay to leave it there unanswered, okay? Capiche? Capiche. Okay. Next question. Where can I flee from your presence? Does the text answer this one? It does. And it's the same verses that answer it, yes? Okay. So the answer is nowhere. And verses 8 through 9. Okay. We have two more questions in verse 21. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? Is this answered in the text? Yes. And what verse is it answered? 22. I hate them with a perfect hatred. Which brings us to our second question. Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? Is this answered in the text? It is. And it is verse 22 again. Okay. Now, any time that you're putting something in a box, and again, we're going to go more on this next week, but I just want you to start getting the idea in your head. The reason we put stuff in boxes, the reason we take the time to write these things out is so that we look at the scripture closer, okay? So instead of just reading over it and being done with it, you're looking at it and you're always asking yourself, what does this mean? How come he said this? What were the circumstances going on that would have made him say this? Who was talking at this time? As you think those questions, I write them down in the margin of my journal because you will have questions and that's good. That's Bible study, right? So jot them down and then we're going to go back and answer them. So this process here is to get your mind really looking at the scripture and thinking about the scripture so that these questions for you to go and research and dig start coming up. So as they come, I know you don't necessarily have the tools yet to answer the questions, but just be thinking about that. Write down the questions you have. Next week after I show you research, you can always go back and answer those questions you had. But that's part of the process, jotting out in the margin. What about this? I wonder what was going on this. Again, who was taught, whatever those questions might be, jot them down so you can go looking for the answers, okay? So the next thing, if you were going in order, would be to make a list of any warnings that we found in the passage. Were there any warnings in this passage? Did we underline anything in red? There was not. Commands, were there any do nots? There was not. Requests, and this is probably my favorite box other than the God box. I love the request box. So we're going to just type in the request that we saw here. So the first one was in verse 19. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. So you might think to yourself when you're writing this down, I wonder who the wicked were. Write it down and go find out who the wicked were, okay? So that's what this process is about. The next question was verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Next part there is, try me and know my anxieties. Now, as you're typing that, you might be, what does it mean and know my anxieties? So you might make yourself a question. You might circle know there to go back and look it up. Do you see how that kind of made it pop off the page when you wrote it down? I was like, I wonder what that means. Excellent. Go find out what it means, okay? And again, we'll talk more next week. Next request. See if there is any wicked way in me. And then the last, lead me in the way everlasting. Now, you might find, oh man, there's so many words I want to look up in this. I want to know what it means to search me. I want to know and know my heart. What does that word mean there? what does wicked way mean? What is it talking about there? What does lead me away? What's the way everlasting? This could be a whole day of quiet time. Just this. So keep that in mind when you're doing this. It's not, I have to get through this whole chapter in one day. You don't. You might say, oh, I really want to focus in on this. Then do. Sit here for a day, 2 days, however long the Lord wants to teach you on this section, take it. Okay? The really nice thing about this is because you've written everything down, if you have to get up and walk away and take care of your kids or go to work or make dinner or whatever, it's very easy to come back and remember right where you were at because everything's written down. All your questions have been jotted on the side, and you can pick up right where you left off, even if it means the next day, okay? All right, so we've done all of our boxes that we have for this. We've done blue, green, yellow, and orange. We've answered our questions with the text. The next thing you would do is start pulling out words that you want to look up. Now, for the sake of time, I can't do that in this setting, okay? But if you had... I spend a lot of time looking up words because you really can learn a lot there. So that's the next thing you would do is start looking up words. You would go back and research any hypothesis that you formed, any changes that you made. If you wrote something down like, instead of Paul, God made Paul an apostle, you wrote down, God makes me an apostle, you're going to go and research that now. You're going to do that process. You're going to make any corrections. Take any black socks out of your whites that got in there by mistake. I was wrong. Paul doesn't make me an apostle. I'm going to go and correct it now in my God column so that everything is based on Scripture. Everything's backed up by Scripture. This ensures us that we never get off doctrinally, okay? We're always staying according to the Word. All right? Once you have done all of that... Now, I put in here a couple of words you could go and look up in your time during the week if you want to. You would go back, read over everything that you've done, just start thinking about what has this taught me about God? What is God asking of me? What areas do I need to work on? Do I need to draw a stronger line between the wicked and me? Am I soft when it comes to what God calls wicked and not? Think about those things. What is the Lord pointing out to you? CJ, you need to work on this area. All of that's going to go into your application, okay? So then we're going to read God columns because another favorite part of mine. This is how I would read it. Remember, I read it out loud whenever possible. Sometimes my family think I'm crazy, but they already know it, so just embrace it. But I would read it this way. God searches me and knows me. He knows my sitting down and my rising up. He understands my thoughts, comprehends my path and my lying down. He's acquainted with my ways. There's not a single word on my tongue before he knows it. He hedges me in behind and before, and he lays his hand upon me. Wherever I am, he is there. His hand leads me. His right hand holds me. He makes night light around me. Darkness cannot hide from him. He makes the night shine as day. Both day and night are alike to him. He formed us, our inward parts, and he covered us in our mother's wombs. He has fearfully and made us. His works are marvelous. My frame was not hidden from him when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought. His eyes saw my substance when I was unformed. Before I was born, he fashioned and wrote my days in a book. His thoughts towards me are precious. How great are the sum of them, more than the number of sand. When I awake, I am still with him, and he is with me. So I will praise him. I will know very well, including the fact that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that his works are marvelous. I will hate the wicked with a perfect hatred, and I will count them as my enemies. Now, again, so much amazing stuff about God. So very little asked of us in response. Praise him. Know his works are marvelous. Hate what he hates. How hard is that in light of all of that on the blue side? It's pretty cool. All right, I'm going to share my application with you. If you have questions about how to write application, the easiest way to start is with your God and me columns. Make it a prayer, make it a letter to God that says, Lord, thank you for, and start writing your God column. I praise you because things in your God column. I worship you because things in your God column. It's the easiest place to start with application if you're not sure where to go. Then, Lord, help me to remember to praise you. Help me to remember that your works are marvelous. Help me to remember to hate the wicked. This is a great, easy place to start with application. And as you get more comfortable with that, it might become more personal, where you say, I struggle with this specifically. Help me in this area. I feel awkward praising. I don't know how to do it. Help me to know how to praise you. Show me. Give me courage to praise you in front of others. See what I'm saying? Now you're making it, you're recognizing your own personal struggles and applying the word of God to it. Does that make sense? Okay. So my application says this. Oftentimes, I feel so alone. My family, those who know me best, only know that which I allow them to know. There are so many fears, so many dreams impossible that never cross the gate of my lips. But you, O Lord, know all of me. From the moment you knit me together in the mysterious... Oh, this is terrible. I can't talk. Okay. From the moment you knit me together in the mysterious womb of my mother to this very moment, every bit of me is known by you. You watch over me always with sweet thoughts of me. There's nowhere I go. Nothing I can do that can separate me from you. How can I ever praise you the way you deserve to be praised? Lord, give me your heart. Give me my eyes. Give me your eyes. Help me to stand up for your causes, to love without limits, to understand the destructive power of evil and wickedness. Make my hatred of such things perfectly balanced in you. Search every part of me. Show me the locked doors and the hidden boxes that need to be broke open and cleaned out. Help me not to be scared. Take my hand and lead me into your way everlasting. Oh. Okay. All right, real quick before we close, I want to make sure you understand warnings and commands. I'm going to switch this tonight because that's really horrible order. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 119:55. It says, salvation is far from the wicked. That would be an example of a warning. Okay, that's warning the wicked, salvation is far. And that would be underlined in red. I'm sorry, 55. 119, Psalms 119, verse 55. Salvation is far from the wicked. It's not? Oh, dear. My Bible is back in my bag. It is in Psalms 119 somewhere. I'm sorry? Okay, Psalms 119, 155. Thank you. Another example of a warning would be Psalms chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, the ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That is a warning. That's Psalms 1, verses 4 and 5. And then let me give you two examples of commands, what those look like. First one will be in Mark chapter 10, verse 9. Psalms 1, 4 through 5 for the warning and for the command, Mark chapter 10, verse 9. Mark 10, verse 9 says, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So do you see the not in there? That makes it a command. Let not man separate. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Command. Another example would be Galatians 1:16, and I want to point this one out because it's a little different. It says, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. So he's talking about when he was, this is Paul talking when he was converted on the road to Damascus. He did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. He instead went somewhere, I don't remember where, for 3 years before he went to Jerusalem and talked to the disciples. So I have that because it says did not. It has the not. I put it in a command. For me, this is more emphatic. When something happens, do not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Go to God. That's kind of why I do it in the pink. Okay, so those are examples for you. It is 12 o'clock. We have done it. We are on time.